Good morning, Springfield First family, and to others from other churches and family and friends that are tuning in this morning, welcome to week number two of Quarantine Church, and I trust that you are staying safe and staying in as much as you can and doing everything you can to keep yourself safe from the virus, and I trust and pray that that God will keep you safe and that you've got everything that you need. And so I'm glad that you're here this morning, and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to look to His Word today. And, you know, though Corona has kind of taken over the whole world, and it's what we've been dealing with and thinking about and talking about, I want us to know this morning that Corona is not the highest force in the world. There is a God that is above everything and above every disease, and we have a great Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're only 2 weeks away now from Easter Sunday. And I want us to, this morning, to, instead of dwelling on the crisis at hand, let's look up this morning and let us look to the Word and look to our Savior and to realize that He who is the resurrection and the life is the one who holds our heart and our lives in His very hands. And so today I want to look at a passage of Scripture from John chapter 11. This is the story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we're going to look at the part of the story today where Jesus actually does raise Lazarus in verses 38 through 44 of John chapter 11. And here's what the Word says. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, He said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out with his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, Lazarus was dead. Not only was he dead, he was really dead. Because he had now been in the grave, in the tomb for 4 days. And the ancient Jews had this belief that when a person died, that their soul would linger around their body for 3 days. And after that third day, their soul would then be transported to Abraham's bosom, where they would be in heaven with the fathers. And so Lazarus was gone, so far gone, that not even Jesus could raise him from the dead, the people believed. So Jesus arrives at the tomb, and he tells the mourning family members, take the stone away. And Martha protests. She says, Lord, listen, this is not going to be a pretty scene. You don't want to do this. He's been there for 4 days. Now, this is the same Martha who just a few minutes earlier said to the Lord, it's like, Lord, I know that you can do anything, that I believe that you have the power to raise the dead. But in her mind, it was too late. And the Lord challenged her faith. He says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And then Martha consented, and the stone was rolled away. And beyond all hope, Jesus raised her brother from the dead. Now, it's clear from the beginning of this story all the way through that Jesus was challenging the faith of his disciples. He told his disciples, even before they made the trip to Bethany to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, that Lazarus had already died, and he said, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. And when he did arrive and he was speaking to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. And he who lives and believes in me, though he should die, he will rise again. Do you believe this? And Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe it. And so the point is this, Jesus is the resurrection. He has the power to raise the dead back to life again. He has the power to redeem and to save even the most hopeless of cases, of which you and I, in a lot of ways, have been those hopeless cases. And in this story, we are challenged to believe that Jesus' resurrection power can restore us to health, restore us to wholeness, and bring us to a place of holiness under the Lord. And we need to also understand that in this story, that the Lord Jesus is calling us who have been redeemed to partner with Him to help bring the spiritually dead souls of our brothers and sisters back to life again. My friends, Jesus wields resurrection power, and only Jesus can bring the dead back to life. When Jesus got to the tomb, He called out in a loud voice. It was the voice of the Lord, the author of life, standing outside that grave, calling into that grave and calling the dead man back to life, proving that He is the resurrection. A few weeks later, Jesus would cry out again in a loud voice. This time it would be as He is on the cross, giving His life as a ransom for you and me. He would cry out, "It is finished." And in that moment, all of our sin, your sin and mine, was laid upon Him. And He bore the penalty. He bore the death that was ours in that moment. And in that moment, His spotless righteousness was made available to you and I. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again from the dead. He appeared to His disciples over a period of 40 days. And on that 40th day, He ascended into heaven before their very eyes. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the risen Lord Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit upon His disciples, upon the church. And from that day to this, everyone who hears the message about Jesus and believes and receives that message and makes the commitment in their heart by faith that they're going to live for Him and make Him their Lord and Savior, He brings that soul, that person, back to life. And praise be to God, Jesus is the resurrection. He is the one that can save us. My friends, Jesus knows your name. You think about it. He's standing there in that graveyard. He calls into that tomb and He calls out to Lazarus, "Come forth." Now, obviously, if Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, He could have raised several others if He wanted to. Matter of fact, He could have called that entire graveyard, the people, out of their graves that day. But that specific day, He was there to call a specific person, Lazarus, back from the dead. And my friends, Jesus knows your name. He knows where you are buried. He knows what has killed you. He knows how sin, your own sin, has hurt you and destroyed your life. He knows how the sins of other people have hurt you and made a mess out of you. And the good news is that Jesus has the power to forgive your sin. And He has the power to heal you from the sins that other people have committed against you. And He has the power to raise you up to a whole new, brand new life in Him. And my friends, I want to ask you this morning, can you hear the voice of the Lord? Is He calling your name right now? And my friends, when Jesus calls us out of our spiritual death, He calls us out of our sin and out of our darkness. He called to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out. Come out of that death. Come out of that dark tomb." And likewise, Jesus is calling you and I out of our sins, out of our worldliness. He's calling us into a new life. He's calling us to something that is not only the promise of heaven and the life to come, but He's also called us to a new life here and now. You see, my friends, eternal life in Jesus' name is a lifetime of fellowship with God. It's having a relationship with Him. See, God Himself has promised in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He has promised, He says, "I will live with them," talking about us, "and I will walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." And He says, "Therefore, my people, come out from them, come out from the world, and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." God is calling us out of our sinful lifestyle. He's calling us out of our worldliness. He's calling us into a new life of fellowship and relationship with Him, a life of moral clarity and moral purity, a whole different way of life. inside and out, my friends. Hallelujah for this new life that is ours in Jesus' name. He is the resurrection. Well, not only is Jesus the one who resurrects us personally, but in this story we also realize and come to understand that resurrection is the family business. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. We are part of His family, and we are in the resurrection business. There's another story in the Bible about the prodigal son. You've probably heard it before. Jesus tells a story about a man who had two sons. And the younger son came to his father and said, "Father, hey, I want my inheritance now because I want to go live my life." And so the father gives him his inheritance and he leaves home and he goes out to the big city and he starts living a wild lifestyle, partying and carousing and carrying on and drinking and doing all these things until he finally runs out of money. And when he runs out of money, he gets in a really bad spot. And he finds himself eventually working for a pig farmer, slopping the hogs. And then he finally comes to himself and he realizes, man, what am I doing here? I had so much better when I was at home in my father's house. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell my father, listen, I know I've messed up. I don't even deserve to be called your son, but at least take me in as a servant so I'll have a place to live. And so the prodigal son goes home. But as soon as his father sees him, he runs and puts his arms around him and tells him that he loves him, puts the robe on him. They have a big party because the father is so glad that that prodigal son had come home. Well, the prodigal son's brother, the older brother, the one who had stayed home and done the right things, he found out about it all, and he got just a little jealous and a little perturbed that his irresponsible brother was being honored by the father and that his father was carrying on so much about the fact that he had come back. But you see, my friends, resurrection is our family business. Even those that have walked with the Lord and then walked away and turned to the ways of sin, when they return and they come back, those of us who are the elder brothers, the ones who have been doing the right thing, we need to welcome back our erring brothers and sisters, welcome them back and welcome them back into the family business. You see, this Lazarus story that we've looked at this morning tells us some important things that we can do to help bring the dead, spiritually dead, back to life again. How we can help people get delivered from their sins and become back in good graces with the Father. And the first one is this. You know, when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, he looked at the family members and he says, "Roll the stone away." So there was this, it was a tomb, it was like a cave, and there was a big stone in front of it. And so if Lazarus was going to get out and if Jesus was going to speak in, that stone had to be removed. And my friends, if we're going to help brothers and sisters of ours come to know the Lord and begin to have this spiritual life that we enjoy, then we have to pry that lid of death off of their souls. Those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus, those who have not or will not call upon the name of the Lord for salvation are dead spiritually, dead in their transgressions and sins, dead in their unbelief, dead to the will of God. They're really a stinking mess morally. They're slaves to their selfishness, slaves to their addictions, slaves to their fears, slaves to their pain, slaves to the cravings of the flesh, slaves to the opinions of this world, and slaves, though they don't realize it, to the devil himself. They are corrupt, they are hard-hearted, and even more hard-headed. They are far from God, and they aren't inclined to seek Him. But yet Jesus calls us to pry this massive lid of death off of each of them so that He can speak life into their souls. So just how are we supposed to do that anyway? Well, this story helps us to see how that can happen. And the first way we help pry that lid of death off of a dead brother or sister's soul is by prayer. Notice in that story that when Lazarus became sick, Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus to come and heal their brother. And my friends, we need to pray for our lost brothers and sisters, our lost friends and loved ones and co-workers and neighbors. We need to pray for them. Pray that God will begin to work in their hearts and lives to take away their unbelief, to take away that hard-headedness and that hard-heartedness that they have. And then we also see that that the word of Jesus was very important in this story. Martha believed the words of Jesus, And she acted upon them. You see, when Jesus said, listen, roll that stone away, and she said, Lord, I'm not sure about that. And he says, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you're going to see something amazing? And so then she consented and had the stone moved away. And so, my friends, we need to share the word, and we need to act upon the word. And when we have an opportunity to speak with people who don't know him, let us use the word and speak the word into their life, because the word has power. And we also see here that it was by love that Lazarus was raised back to life. Martha and Mary, the sisters, they loved their brother. And they also believed that Jesus loved him too, and he did. And if we're to have a hand in opening the heart of a lost person to Jesus, then we must genuinely love that person for who they are. See, our job is not to condemn, not to ostracize, not to treat them harshly or in anger. Instead, we need to show them the love of Jesus, the same love that he has put in our hearts. And so, my friends, we need to love that person. We need to pray for them. We need to share the word with them. We need to be kind to them. And we need to do everything we can to pry that lid off so that Jesus can speak into their lives. And praise God, once Jesus does speak into their lives, and he brings this new life to bear in their hearts and lives, then we still have work to do. Because notice that after Jesus raised Lazarus, he comes walking out of that tomb. But he's all wrapped up like a mummy. They wrapped him up in the cloths, as was their custom. And so Jesus said to them, he says, take off those grave clothes. And so Lazarus, now that he had been resurrected, now he'd been brought back to life, it was no longer appropriate for him to be wrapped in the vestments of death. And so in the same way, we got to be careful, because we tend to slap labels on people who make a mess out of their lives, and people who conduct their lives in ways that are inappropriate. Some people are so far gone that we have even gotten to the place where we have labeled them as hopeless or unworthy. And when a miracle happens and that lost soul is redeemed and resurrected by the grace and the power of Jesus, it is important that we peel the labels of death off of them. Now, some may protest and say, now, wait a minute, sinners deserve the condemnation that they get. And no doubt that is probably true. But when Jesus touches that sinner and delivers him or her from their wickedness, we should rejoice. Amen? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, he was writing to the believers there, and he says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, and that is what some of you were. Amen. And that's what some of us were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. My friends, people, we make a mess out of our lives in so many different ways. But when Jesus comes into our life and redeems us and changes us, it doesn't matter as much where we have come from. What matters most now is where we are with him and where he's taking us to. And so that redeemed person obviously needs to prove their salvation by living out this new life. But the church needs to pray for and encourage the redeemed, not label and criticize them. My friends, beware of blaspheming the work of God in someone else's life just because maybe they hurt you in the past or you don't like the sins that they had committed when they were lost. Listen, be very careful about that. Let's be encouraging, not criticizing. Amen? And then not only must we take the labels of death off of the people who have been redeemed, but we also need to give them the freedom to act. Because Jesus said to the people, he said, take the grave clothes off of Lazarus and let him go. Let him begin to live this new life that I've given him. Amen? And so when Jesus resurrects somebody around us, somebody that we know, somebody that maybe has been far from God, we need to give them the freedom to act, the freedom to live out this life. And sometimes the church is slow to trust the newly redeemed, to take their place in the body of Christ, to take their place in ministry. And certainly the church has a responsibility to nurture and to train new believers. But these new disciples of Jesus must also be given the freedom to pursue God's calling and take their places in the body of Christ. This also would apply to the prodigal sons and daughters of God, those who have returned after a season of indulging the flesh and backsliding. Sometimes the elder brothers, those in the church who justly disapproved of the sins of the backslider, sometimes we have a hard time receiving the prodigals back into the family and back into the family business. And while it is the responsibility of the returned prodigal to prove themselves by a consistent walk, it is also incumbent upon the elder brothers and sisters to give the resurrected ones the freedom to act. Amen? Praise be to God. My friends, let's be encouraging of all whom the Lord Jesus has redeemed, all that he is resurrecting. Let's encourage them, build them up, pray for them, give them opportunities, be there to walk with them. Amen? Not to criticize, not to hold them back, not to stand back and say, oh, I'm just going to wait for them to mess up again. My friends, let's be positive. Amen? Hallelujah. And praise God, there is this resurrection power. And I believe the thing that we got to understand is that this resurrection power is working in us if we'll let it work and continue to do its work. You see, the resurrected King is resurrecting me and resurrecting you. Jesus spoke into that tomb. He said, Lazarus, come out. And it says the dead man came out. Amen? And this is the dramatic impact of this story. It has a dramatic impact, especially, I believe, on the prodigal sons and daughters of God. For many of us have rebelled against the Lord. We've denied the grace of God, and we've shipwrecked our faith. We've made a mess out of our lives, and we have hurt the people closest to us. And whether we realize it or not, we are dead to God, dead in our trespasses and sins. And like the prodigal son in Luke 15, we've sold out our relationship to the Father in favor of the pleasures of this world and the pleasures of sin. But my friends, Jesus knows where you're buried. He is calling out to you, calling you to give up your sins, calling you to return to him, calling you out of death back to life. Amen? And my friends, the dead can live again. Jesus can resurrect you from the ashes of defeat. And so if you've wandered from God, if you once walked with him and were close to him and you wandered away from him, my friends, come back. Come back. Hear the voice of the Lord calling to you this morning. You see, the dead can live again and the broken can be healed. Jesus can heal your heart and he can heal your mind and he can heal your broken relationships and he can make them healthy again. Amen? My friends, the fallen can be restored. The prodigal sons and daughters can be restored to the family business, and they need to be. Oh, my friends, listen, time is short. The hour is critical. The time for us as a church to make a difference for Jesus is now. We need all hands on deck. Amen? Let's strengthen one another and encourage one another and work together with one another. Amen? And so, my friends, if you've wandered from the faith, come back to God today. Let his voice reach your ears. Hear him calling you to come out. Come out of that lifestyle that you're in. Come out of that sin that you've been entrapped in. Return back to your Father. Allow him to work his miracle in you once again and take you to a place you've never been before. Amen. And let's all of us, as believers in Jesus, let's do the hard work of prying that lid of death off of our lost friends and loved ones. Let's remember, Jesus is the resurrection. And he alone can give eternal life. And eternal life is ours in him through faith. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for resurrection power. Thank you, Jesus, that you've loved us. You've given yourself for us. And no matter where we've been and what we've done, Lord, You are calling us to yourself, calling us out of our sins, calling us into relationship, calling us out of death into life. And so today, Lord, I pray that someone who's hearing this message will hear your voice calling to them to come out of where they are and to come to you and begin to experience this newness, this fullness of life that you want for them. And help us, Lord, as a church, to love people, to encourage them, to fan into flame, Lord, the new life that you've put within the newly redeemed. And Lord, to accept back the prodigals, the backsliders that you call back to yourself, Lord, help us to encourage them as well. And incorporate all of us, Lord, into this business of sharing the good news of Jesus with other people and helping them experience this resurrection life as well. Lord Jesus, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you, and we pray it all in your name. Amen. Now, my friends, may God bless you, may God be with you, may his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you, and may he give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you later.